I'm so pleased to be with you again. I enjoy listening to you sing. The whole congregation sounds like a choir. I am wearing green today in honor of St. Patrick's Day. I see some other Irish people in the congregation too. I am not Irish, but I like to honor St.
Patrick.
When Patrick was a teenager, he was captured and sold as a slave into Ireland. He was able to escape. But many years later, he went back to Ireland as a missionary. And he shared the gospel in Ireland. He died on March the 17th,
471.
He was one of the earliest missionaries of the Christian church. And so on March 17 every year, the Irish people honor him. And all Christians should honor such a great missionary. This morning we heard the story of the Good Samaritan. The story repeats the great commandment of Jesus Christ. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. When the expert in the law asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" he was trying to make it easy for himself. He thought, if I only have a few neighbors, then I will not have too many people to love. So he was hoping that Jesus would narrow the number of neighbors that he had. But Jesus told the story actually made a larger group of neighbors. The point is that anyone who has a need becomes our neighbor, and we should care for that person. But this morning I would like to focus our attention on a very select few group of people. I would like us to think today about the great commandment applying to our actual neighbors. When the expert asked, "Who is my neighbor?" you would think that's an obvious question with an obvious answer. Our neighbors are the people who live close to us. They are the people who live in our neighborhood. But I wonder what would happen if we all took seriously the commandment to love our actual neighbors as we love ourselves. Perhaps if we try to love everybody, we end up not loving anybody. We have a theoretical love for a theoretical group of people instead of actually loving our real neighbors. Last week, the Hamilton Spectator had an article on the front page, and it was called "Raising the Bar on Neighborliness." There's a picture of a man and a woman hugging each other. They are not husband and wife, they are neighbors. I do not recommend you hug your neighbor like this. But these people share a very special bond. The man and the wife, Keith and Monique, have a neighbor, Debbie. Keith needed a kidney transplant. When Debbie, the neighbor, found out that Keith needed a kidney transplant, she thought, maybe I could donate a kidney.
鄰居 Debbie 知道他需要有一個腎的移植的時候，他就喺度諗，可能我可以將我嘅腎捐俾佢。
And after testing, they discovered that it was a potential match.
咁佢哋做過一啲嘅化驗嘅時候，就知道佢係可以將呢個腎捐俾佢嘅。
So Debbie took one of her kidneys and donated it to Keith.
咁Debbie 就將佢嘅腎其中一個捐咗俾Keith.
And they are both doing very well.
而今日佢哋兩個都係非常之嘅健康。
They are allowed to hug one another, I think.
所以這樣呢,他們就可以互相擁抱了。Now,
I am not suggesting that you have to donate your kidney in order to be a good neighbor.
我不是說你要將你的腎捐了出來才可以成為一個好的鄰舍。But
I am asking, if one of your neighbors needed a kidney, would you know about it?
我想問大家的問題就是,如果你的鄰舍需要一個腎的時候,你會不會知道呢?
Please take a moment and think about your neighbors.
用少少的時間去想下你的鄰舍。
If you live on a residential street, think about the people who lived on this side of you and on this side of you.
如果你是住在一間屋的時候，你會想下你左、你右嗰啲屋嘅鄰舍。
Think about the people who live on the other side of the street, the home right in front and the one there and there, three homes across the street from you.
你又想想你的屋,對著那間屋和那間屋的左右,前面那三間屋。
Think about the people who live in your backyard, the houses behind you.
你又去想想你的backyard,你的後院後面那些屋。
Eight houses altogether, three there, one on either side.
總共有八間屋,前三後三和旁邊兩間。
If you live in an apartment, think about the two apartments on this side, the two apartments on this side, and the three apartments across the hall.
如果你住在大廈裏面的時候，你諗下你左邊兩間、右邊兩間同埋前面三間。
And if you live in student housing, think about the 25 people who live within a few feet of you.
如果你住在宿舍的時候，你諗下喺你嘅宿舍裏邊有25個人都可能住喺你幾尺嘅範圍之內。
Now the people who live around you are your neighbors.
呢啲住喺你附近嘅人就係你嘅鄰舍。
Let me ask you a few questions about them.
我想問下你一啲嘅問題，關於你嘅鄰舍嘅。
Do you know what their names are?
你知唔知道佢哋叫咩名咧？
How many people live in each of those houses?
每一間屋裏邊住幾多個人嘅咧？
How many children live in those houses?
每一間屋裏邊有幾多小朋友咧？
How old are the children?
咁啲小朋友係幾多歲嘅咧？
Do all of the adults live outside the work outside the home, or are there some who stay at home all day?
咁喺啲屋裏邊嗰啲嘅成人係咪係出去做嘢啊？定還是有啲係留喺屋企嘅咧？
What are their occupations?
咁佢哋嘅職業係乜嘢咧？
How long have they lived in the neighborhood?
咁佢哋住喺度有幾耐嘅時間咧？
Are they new to Canada?
佢哋係咪加拿大嘅新移民咧？
Do they speak other languages beside English or Cantonese?
咁佢除咗講英文同廣東話，仲會唔會講其他嘅語言嘅咧？
Do they have other family in the area or are they alone?
咁佢有冇其他嘅親戚喺呢個嘅範圍裏邊，定還是佢哋係？
Do they have a religious background?
佢哋有冇宗教嘅信仰嘅咧？
Do they have any special physical or health needs?
咁喺佢哋嘅身體健康上面有冇特別嘅需要咧？
What problems do they face in their life?
佢今日喺生命上面係遇見一啲咩嘅難題咧？
Now I have to be honest, when I ask those questions of myself about the eight homes in my immediate neighborhood, I do not do very well.
咁我要好誠實嘅同大家講，當我去問呢啲嘅問題，關於我屋企附近呢八家人嘅時候，我答案都唔係非常之好嘅。
My son Richard is taking university courses.
我個仔 Richard 係喺大學度讀緊書。
In one of the classes, they did group work.
咁喺佢讀書嘅時候，有一啲小組嘅運作。
He was talking to one of the girls in the group that he was in.
咁咧，佢就喺個小組裏邊同其中一個同學嚟到傾偈。
They discovered they both live in Ancaster.
咁咧，佢就發覺佢哋兩個都喺 Ancaster 呢個地方住。
So where in Ancaster do you live?
咁佢就話喺 Ancaster 邊度住啊？
Close to the high school.
咁佢就話我住喺呢間嘅中學附近。
Oh, me too. What street do you live on?
咁佢哦，我都係啊，你住喺邊條街嘅咧？
I live on Galley Road.
咁佢話我住喺 Galley Valley Road.
Oh, me too.
我也是。
What house do you live in?
他住在哪一家屋?
And we discovered that the teenage girl is my neighbor across the street.
我們發覺到這位女同學是住在我對面的屋子。
Richard had never met her.
但我兒子Richard從來沒見過他。
Now he has been out of high school for 10 years and she recently graduated, so they were not in the same classes.
我兒子Richard已經畢業了10年了，所以他們不是差不多年紀的。
But I have to be honest with you, I did not know my neighbor across the street had a teenager in their house.
但我要很誠實告訴大家，我都不知道我對面這個鄰舍是有一個學生年紀的女兒在當中。 How
can I love my neighbor if I do not even know who is in the house?
如果我都不知道這間屋裡面有什麼人的時候，我怎樣談得上去愛我的鄰舍呢？
And we realize that there are many barriers in our society to actually loving our neighbors.
我們知道在我們現在生活的社會裡面，有很多對愛鄰舍有一個障礙。
And one of them is our desire to be private.
其中一個障礙就是我們要有我們的私隱權。
I know that as I was asking those questions about your neighbors, some of you were feeling uncomfortable.
我知道，當我去剛才問那麼多問題關於你的鄰舍的時候，你可能不是很舒服。
You might think, it's none of my business, the answers to those questions.
你會覺得這些所有的答案對我來說都不是很關我事。
Should I know about my neighbor's health problems? Isn't that private?
我是不是應該知道我鄰舍健康的問題呢？這些不是有他自己的私隱權嗎？
And you are right, if you are a stranger.
如果你的答案是對的時候，你就是他一個陌生人。
But if you are a good friend,
但如果你是一個朋友的時候,
if you are a good neighbor,
如果你是一個好的鄰舍,
then probably you would know some of the things that were going on in the health and the life of your neighbor.
那你就很應該知道你的鄰舍，他的生活，他的健康上面一些的問題。
You see, we like our privacy.
大家都很喜歡自己有自己的私隱權。
But people also want to be loved.
但是人也是很需要被愛的。
They want to feel important.
他們是希望知道自己是重要的。
And they will be willing to give up their privacy to people who they know really care for them.
他們能夠為了得到被愛而放棄一些私隱權。
To be a good neighbor, we have to give up some of our own privacy.
我們如果能夠去做一個好的鄰舍，我們是要去放棄某一些的私隱權。
And when we do so, our neighbors will open up and give away some of their privacy as well.
當我們這樣做的時候，我們的鄰舍同樣地都是會願意更加的開放。
Another barrier that we face in loving our neighbors is fear.
另外一個對鄰舍去愛我們鄰舍的障礙就是我們的懼怕。
Several weeks ago, we were collecting food in Ancaster for the local food banks.
幾個星期前，我們在Ancaster我們住的地方，都是去搜集食物，為了去捐去食物銀行。
On a special Saturday in February, people put food on their front sidewalk, and then volunteers come and pick it up, take it to the food bank.
那在某一個星期六，所有人住在那裡的人都會把一些食物放在他們屋前面，有一些義工就會來搜集。
If they forget to put the food on the driveway, we knock on the door and remind them that today is the food drive day.
如果他外面沒有放食物的時候，這些義工就會敲門，就是提醒他們要拿食物出來。
So I knocked on one door and a young boy about 10 years old opened the door.
我就去敲門，但有一個10歲大的男仔就來開門了。
I asked him if his mother was home and he called for his mother.
我就問他，你媽媽在不在家呢？他就叫他媽媽了。
And then his mother began to yell at him.
他媽媽就在罵他了。Did
you open the door?
他說，你是不是開了門啊?
I told you not to open the door unless I am there with you.
我叫住你，我不在的時候，你不要去開門的嘛。
The little boy was looking up at me with big eyes.
he
was embarrassed. And I was embarrassed. I felt badly for him. But I also felt badly for his mother. How is it that we now assume that everyone who comes to the door is probably bad instead of good?
為什麼我們今天去想的時候，就是去假定了敲門的那些一定是壞人來的呢？
One of the problems with having news 24 hours a day is we begin to see the worst side of life instead of the best side of life.
今天那個新聞資訊的發達，令到我們覺得周圍所發生的事都是不好的。
When we turn on the TV and hear the brokenness in our world, we assume that people are bad instead of good.
當我哋去打開電視嚟睇呢啲新聞嘅時候，我哋都係睇見呢個世界嘅破碎，而唔係睇到世界好嘅一邊。
It's the same problem that the priest and the Levite had in the story that we read.
喺呢個故事裏邊，呢個嘅祭司同埋利未人同樣地都係一樣。
They probably did not stop because they were afraid.
佢哋都冇停低，可能佢都係有恐懼。
They knew it was a dangerous piece of road.Perhaps they thought this man is just pretending to be wounded so that he can trap us and steal our things. Just before Christmas, our friend John and Patty moved into a new home. It was a new home for them, but an established neighborhood.They had a good idea. Let's invite people to our home to have some Christmas baking and we will get to know our neighbors. But someone said, no, you should not do that. People might come into your house and steal things. You don't know your neighbors. How do you know you can trust them?
你都唔識得你嘅鄰舍，你點知道可以信任佢哋咧
？So John and Patty phoned us and said, "What do you advise?"
咁 John 同埋 Patty 就打電話俾我，就話你嘅意見係點咧
？I said, "Take the risk."
咁我就話你應該去冒呢個險。
Maybe you will lose something.
你可能會唔見啲嘢嘅喎。
But you might also get to know your neighbor.
但係咧，你會認識，可以認識到你嘅鄰舍。
And your neighbor will get to know you.
而你嘅鄰舍亦都能夠有一個機會認識你。
And you cannot love your neighbor if you do not know your neighbor. The good Samaritan took a risk when he bent down to help the wounded traveler. If we are to be good neighbors, we must also take some risks. A third barrier to loving our neighbor as ourselves is our busyness.
第三樣對我哋做鄰舍做好鄰舍一個嘅障礙就係我哋嘅繁忙嘅生活。
We have places to go.
我哋有好多地方要去。
We have people that we must see.
我哋有好多嘅人要去見。
We have things that we must do.
我哋有好多嘢要去做。
And this was probably true of the priest and the Levite as well.
對呢個嘅祭司同呢個利未人可能都係同樣一個嘅狀況。
They were on their way somewhere, so they hurried past.
咁佢哋好趕住嘅去一個地方。
They had no time to help this wounded traveler. And perhaps the biggest barrier to us actually getting to know our neighbors and loving them is the time crunch. But when we say, I don't have time to get to know my neighbor, What we are really saying is getting to know my neighbor is not as important as other things that I do. The truth is that in order to take the great commandment seriously, we must make space in our lives for our neighbors.
如果我哋要真正對呢個大使命、大嘅戒命嚟到認真嘅時候，喺我哋生命裏邊一定要為咗我哋嘅鄰舍嚟到係去創造一啲嘅空間。
We must set aside time so that we can get to know them.
我哋一定要有時間嚟到去俾我哋嘅鄰舍，以至我哋能夠認識佢。
We need to slow down the pace of our life so that we can afford to be interrupted by our neighbors.
我哋一定要將我哋嘅生活嘅節奏慢落嚟，以至到我哋能夠有時間認識我哋嘅鄰舍。
And we must be willing to share our time and our possessions with them. A number of years ago, I had a friend and he had a wheelbarrow. He said, David, I don't need a wheelbarrow. But some of my neighbors need a wheelbarrow.I own a wheelbarrow so that I can let them borrow my wheelbarrow. And that's how we can become friends. So there are many barriers for us to become good neighbors. I'd like to give us several suggestions as to how we can turn that around and become better neighbors.
咁咧，我想俾大家一啲嘅意見，以至到我哋點樣能夠係去 跨過呢啲嘅障礙。
The first suggestion is this: move into your neighborhood.
第一個嘅意見就係你真正要去搬入去你個鄰居裏邊。
You say, I already live there. Why do I have to move there?
咁你會話我已經住喺嗰度啦，點解我要搬入去咧？
But some of us act as if we are only visiting our neighborhood.
但係我哋有時候嘅生活好似我哋係一個嘅去探佢哋咁樣嘅。
We're in our neighborhood overnight, and then we go somewhere to go to work, and then we come back, and we're in and out of our neighborhood as if we are visitors. Do you realize that God may have put you in your neighborhood for a very specific reason? You thought you rented that apartment because it was available. You thought you bought this particular house because it was a good price at that time. But God had a plan for you. And God had a plan for your neighbors. He wanted you where you are for a very specific reason. In Acts, the Bible says that he, God, determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God wants you to be fully part of the neighborhood where he has placed you. In 1981, Betty and I moved into our first home. We bought the home from people who were Christians. We did not know them, but we saw the Christian magazines in their house when we were shopping. As we got to know our neighbors across the driveway, Paul and Val, we asked them, did you know the people who used to live in this house? They said, a little bit. We know that they went to church. We lived in that house for 10 years and became close friends with Paul and Val and their family. When we moved to the present house where we live, we only moved about 10 kilometers away, so we were able to maintain contact with Paul and Val. And after some time, we said, well, have you got to know the people who bought the house from us? It was a single mom and her children. And Paul and Val says, oh, we know her a little bit. We know that she goes to church. And I thought to myself, for over 20 years, God arranged that Christian families would live at 91 Cranbrook Drive. Three separate Christian families lived at 91 Cranbrook Drive for over 20-year period of time. Is that neighborhood any different because they lived there? Are any of those neighbors any closer to Jesus Christ because God put Christians at that address? Or could it be that they were all so busy going to church that they did not have time to be good neighbors? We need to move into the neighborhoods in which God has placed us. And then secondly, once we are there, we need to become visible in our neighborhood. Someone said that good fences make good neighbors. I disagree with that. When we bought the house that we live in now, it used to have a cornfield behind us. We were glad for the cornfield. It helped us see beautiful sunsets. Soon after we moved in, several neighbors came and asked us to sign a petition for the city would so the city would never build homes in the cornfield. But we told the neighbors, we like the cornfield, but we know that if houses are there, then people will move into those houses. And people who move into those houses will be our neighbors. And having neighbors is a good thing. So we will not sign the petition. Well, 15 years later, they built houses in our cornfield. But the developer left a pathway behind our house and before the backyard of the other houses. So people could walk behind our backyard. Immediately our neighbors began to build fences. They did not want people on the pathway to be able to look into their backyard. Betty and I did not build a fence. We want to be able to see people walking behind us. We want them to be able to see us. Maybe we can even talk to each other. When they walk their dog, we can talk about dogs. When they walk with their children, we can talk about children. There's a nursing home at the end of the street, and when they push their elderly relative on with the wheelchair in the pathway, we can talk to them. You see, we want to become visible in our neighborhood so that people can get to know us. Now, maybe people do not walk behind your house, they always walk in front of your house. So you need to move into your front yard from your backyard. I heard about a man who took his barbecue from his patio in the backyard and put it on his front step so he could barbecue his hamburgers in front of his house. Then when his neighbors were walking, they could talk to each other because they saw each other. See, we need to become visible in our neighborhood so that our neighbors get to see us. And then we must exercise hospitality. We must open the front door of our house. We must invite them in, our neighbors, into our house. Now, some people might be hesitant to come. Remember, they too are fearful. Remember, they too want to be private. But if you talk to people in the front yard, maybe one day they will come and have tea with you in your home. Now, you must be prepared for some uncomfortable situations. Some of the people you invite into your home might be different from you. They might eat different kind of food. They might live a different kind of lifestyle. They might even be sinners. But Jesus had dinner with sinners. And being a good neighbor means being willing to love and open our house to sinners. And finally, we must be paying attention to what is happening in the lives of our neighbors. As we listen to their stories and ask questions as we get to know them, we need to pay attention to what God is already doing in their lives. And as we do so, they will open up to us and give away some of their privacy and allow us to minister to them. A few moments ago, I mentioned our friends Paul and Val, who used to live beside us. Their one daughter, Shannon, used to babysit our daughter, Stacy, and our son, Richard. Shannon got married to Simon, and every year we send them our Christmas letter, and they send us a Christmas card. And now and then we go back and see Shannon's parents, Paul and Val. They still live in the same house they lived in 20 years ago when we lived beside them. A few weeks ago, we got a phone call from Shannon one evening. She was crying so hard I could hardly make out what she was saying to me. And then I finally understood that her father, Paul, our friend, had died suddenly. I thought Paul must have had a heart attack. They took him to the hospital and he passed away. Shannon said, "Can you come to the house and pray with us?" So Betty and I quickly went to the house. In our old neighborhood. Parked in the same driveway that we used to, in the house where we used to live. And there was a policeman outside the house. And suddenly it dawned on me, I said to the policeman, "Did Paul pass away here at the house?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "And is Paul still here at the house?" And he said, "Yes." And I suddenly realized that the family did not want to let their loved one leave the house after he had died until someone had come and prayed. So in the house was was Val, the wife, and the children, and some of the grandchildren. Three generations gathered around the bedside of their loved one who had just passed away a few hours before. And Betty and I were able to read scripture and to pray with them. How is it that this family invited us into such an intimate moment in their lives? It's because 30 years ago, when Betty and I moved to 91 Cranbrook Drive, we tried to love our neighbor as we loved ourselves. We have not always been successful in doing that well. But when we did, when our neighbors actually felt loved by us, God did wonderful things. Being a good neighbor is really, really, really important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. He lived in the neighborhood.
天父，我们多谢你，因为你差遣主耶稣基督是住在我们的邻舍的当中。
Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves.
请你帮助我们去爱我邻舍，好像我们爱自己一样。
In Jesus' name, amen.
奉主耶稣的名求。